Good morning. The sunshine the last few days has been marvelous. Really nice. Now I just got to make sure I find the right paper here. Excuse me. Last time we were looking at, we're looking at preservation. And we started to begin through looking at different places where the word scripture is used in the New Testament and how those references to scripture are dealing with what they had at hand at that time. You know, a lot of times people want to claim that when the word scripture is used in the Bible, it's referring to the original autographs, as they would be termed. But in reality, they're referring to whatever they had right there at hand. And that's a key thing in understanding this whole idea about preservation. So we'll start in, we're going to start in John 2. So let's turn to John 2. We're just going to continue down through here in some different places that the word scripture is used. And then, Lord willing, we'll get into a few observations about that. We hear that repetition is the key to learning, but I'm beginning to question that whole idea. I'm beginning to question that because, you know, it seems like no matter how many times I go over things, I'm not talking about Sunday school teacher, I'm talking about seventh grade math teacher. Sometimes it doesn't seem to matter how many times I go over something. You know, they still don't get it. They still don't get it. So, you know, we need to rephrase that. Like, let's see, repetition. Something has to do with desire in there on the part of the learner. You know, because it doesn't matter how many times I go over it. Mrs. Gaffney and I, we have some interesting discussions sometimes about, you know, students. And, you know, she's getting an interesting viewpoint, you know, being in some different classrooms, substitute teaching and so forth. And there is so much apathy out there, so much apathy. But praise God, we don't have to be that way. You know, we can have zeal, we can have desire, we can care about the right things. And, you know, one of those, that's all found in the scripture. Because if we don't have a right view about the Bible, if we don't really see it as the very word of God and the very words of God, we're going to be lost. You know, and something's going to happen in our life where we question things, and if we don't have the right view of Scripture, and if we aren't in the Scripture, we're not gonna have the faith we need. But in John 2 here, but let's start with prayer. Father, we do thank you for your love, and we do thank you, Lord, for the privilege it is to be able to repeatedly, Lord, get into your Word, and Lord, look at different ideas and different things, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, that when our faith is challenged, we have a sure word that we can go back to and prove to ourselves, Lord, what we believe and why we believe it. And Father, that's what Pastor continually encourages us with, Lord, and I just pray that that's what the folks here would hear from my lips as well, Lord, that it's got to be about what the Scripture says. Folks, their faith is based upon what somebody says, what they think, Lord, what their parents taught them. And Lord, you know, we need good parenting, we need good preaching, but ultimately, Lord, our faith has got to find a resting place in the Lord Jesus and in His Word. And Lord, we just pray as a result of being here this morning that our faith would increase, Lord, that we would see that anything we're struggling with, anything we need answers for, Lord, we find those in your word. Just give us that kind of a heart, Lord. Help us to just draw nigh that you might do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. In John, excuse me, chapter 2, familiar passage here. Pastor was just in this at some point recently about turning the water into wine and understanding that, you know, this is not alcoholic wine. This is just grape juice. You know, we need to remember the concept of the idea that, you know, words have multiple meanings. You know, that's one of the beauties of the English language. is that, you know, words have multiple meanings, and we've got to study the context to know what's being, excuse me, what's being referred to. But then in verse 18 of chapter 2 of John, then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? Actually, you know what? The physical temple, it wouldn't have taken them that long. It wouldn't even have taken them 3 seconds. It could have been instantaneous that he could have had that built. You know, and just, John is a book filled with examples of how people misunderstood things as being physical when God's trying to help them understand it's about a physical reality. You know, Nicodemus, can a man be born when he is old, born again when he is old? You know, can he enter his mother's womb a second time? No, it's not what it's about. It's not about the physical. It's about a spiritual birth. The woman at the well, you know, he's talking about spiritual water, you know, not physical water. And we see the same thing here again. You know, they're thinking the physical temple. You know, he's talking about the spiritual. Verse 21, but he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remember that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. And it's just another example of how whatever scripture they had available to them, that's what they were believing in. You know, whatever originals that would have there was, they would have passed off the scene a long time ago. And I've mentioned this several times. Let's turn over to chapter 5. The process of preservation began before the ink was even dry on the originals. You know, we need to understand that because, you know, the place where the person was could have started on fire. You know, right at the time when they punctuated that last sentence, and the ink wasn't even dry in the last few words, a fire could have swept through where they were and burned it up. You know, or a robber could have stolen it from them on the way to delivering it to whoever they were delivering it to. You know, and a lot of this is a lot of this is just calmness about this issue, because there's a lot of rhetoric and there's a lot of propaganda out there being, you know, on the internet especially, you know, but even in the books that are written about this whole King James issue, about Bible preservation, you know, where is it preserved and so on. But, you know, most of the time, if not all the time, you know, people don't study both sides of an issue. They've got their mind made up about what the truth is before they even start studying it out. And 99 out of 100 times, they don't even start with what the Bible says. They start with what some scholar says. But, you know, God is a God of reason. You know, obviously we need to have the faith in what he teaches us. But when we use sanctified common sense and the Holy Spirit guiding us into what the truth is, there's only one conclusion that we can really draw if we're honest about what the evidence shows about the Scripture. And that is that it is preserved. It has to be preserved because that's what God says and the many other reasons that we've looked at. But in John chapter 5, excuse me, verse 36, but I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he has sent, him ye believe not. Verse 39, search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Whatever they had right there. Whatever they had, whatever was available, you know, Jesus is not correcting and saying, well, you know, you can believe what the Bible says that you have at your disposal, which, by the way, he's, even as a man, he's still omniscient. He knows everything. You know, and some people want to say, well, he lost some of his divine attributes as a man. No, he didn't. He was completely God and completely man. Now, he laid aside his glory, obviously, because men could not look upon that. They could not bear that. But other than that, I mean, Nathanael's under the tree. Jesus says, I saw you when you were there. I mean, he knows. He's not any different as far as his godly qualities of knowing things. He would know exactly what scripture they had available to them. He would know every single word that was in the manuscripts. And he would know all that. And yet modern scholarship wants to tell us that there was a problem with some of that. When Jesus is saying, what you have is exactly what you need. Search out those scriptures that you have. Not, you know, you got to use modern textual criticism. You know, you got to compare all these manuscripts and use one that was in a garbage can and one that was at the Vatican and so on. You have what you need right there. Whatever you have is sufficient. And see, that's really the key for us, though. Day by day. And even less than that, you know, hour by hour, moment by moment. Do we really believe that? You know, when we're faced with struggles, financial struggles. Skylar. I didn't intend to come up here and do this. We have hardships. We have a lot of hard times. But what do we really believe? Do we still know God's good? Because just like then, go look in the scriptures. Search them out. They testify of me, Jesus said. You know, and they give us everything we need. But there's times in life when we lack faith. We really do. You know, we lack faith to say no to a temptation. We lack faith to, you know, trust God's going to meet our needs. You know, we lack faith that in the midst of this circumstance, God's going to do something. God's going to do something. You know, we might not, well, we probably don't know how, but that's where faith comes in. Knowing that what God says is, he's going to bring it to pass as far as how he's going to, you know, all things work together for good. You know, we need to know that. You know, that doesn't mean that we don't grieve or mourn. That's not what that means. But the point is, we have hope about how things are going to turn out in the midst of the most trying and difficult circumstances that life can bring. You know, it's not God's fault that people die. You know, it's not God's fault that our bodies break down physically. You know, it's men's fault. God didn't bring sin into the world. But we have to have faith. And the only place we're going to get that from is the scripture. That's the only place. You know, but we've got to meditate on it. You know, we search the scriptures. We need that same advice. You know, we've got some kind of a problem or struggle or whatever we might have. We've got to get into the scriptures and we've got to meditate on it. And we've got to have it transform us. So that whatever, well, we got to die to self too. You know, we've got to get ourself out of the way and our plans and goals and dreams and, you know, whatever the Lord wants, whatever God wants. But Jesus at this point, he's not questioning, and he doesn't any place. He's not questioning how, you know, what is there some kind of a problem with the scriptures that, you know, these people had versus the people, you know, back in a different passage? No, there's no problems with it. There's no problems with it. And it's a hopeless situation if there is. Because where are we going to find true answers to the difficulties? Where are the true answers if we don't know that we have the Word of God? Where are they? They're nowhere to be found. They're nowhere to be found. It's completely and totally subjective. Let's look in John 13. John 13. in verse 18, John 13:18. John 13:18, the Bible says, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Talking about Judas. It's now obviously at one point in time it's written down as an original. But they don't need that original to know that that's in there. And once again, Jesus doesn't do anything, excuse me, to correct it or give even a caution about, you know, you better compare what you, the copy that you have with the copy at the synagogue in this city, you know, because there might be a little problem there. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say that because it's all complete. It's all accurate. And what they have is and are the very word and words of God. Let's go to Acts 8. Acts 8. Familiar passage here about the eunuch and Philip. So Acts 8, let's see, we'll start in verse 30, Acts 8:30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before a shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. There's not any criticism here on Philip's part. It's just, he has what he needs. You know, he has what he needs to get saved. He has what he needs to know how to live. Everything is there. Everything is intact. Acts 17. Acts 17. There are so many different places we could turn for this. We're not going to turn to them all. But we need to have a foundation built. Because, you know, if the foundation is partially good and partially bad, it's going to show up at different times in our life. It's going to show up when, and you know, the way it might show up for me is not the same necessarily that it might show up for you. We all have our struggles. They're all different, but, well, and yet the same. But the point is, whatever our struggles are, if we don't have a firm foundation that this book is pure, that this book has everything we need, then it's gonna permeate all the areas of our life, not just the area where we necessarily would struggle. Acts 17 and verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Now think about it. There's buried treasure someplace in a field, that, or so we've been told. And if we go in that field and start digging, and the treasure's not even there, or it's maybe in a different field, or maybe it's in a different state or county or whatever, what kind of a search is it really? It's futile. It's totally futile, because if we don't even know where this, really know where the treasure is, we're going to give up. It's not going to take long. We will just give up on the search, because it's like, it could be here or it couldn't. I mean, how long would we really dig for it? If it could be here or 10 miles away or 300 miles away, and it's the same idea in our Bible study. You know, if we don't really know the answers are here, now, I'm not saying we're going to get all the answers we're looking for, because, you know, we're human. God's bigger than us, you know, pea brains, or at least, you know, I'll speak for myself. You know, we don't get everything sometimes, and we're not going to get everything, but that shouldn't cause us to, you know, flounder or faint. But the point is, if we don't know where the truth really is, if we don't really know where the treasure is, we're probably not going to dig very long. We're going to get discouraged. You know, and it's the same way, I mean, make the application to our own lives in the areas where we have a difficulty. You know, and the whole idea of daily, you know, search it out, look for it. Where's the answers? You know, be able to prove it, excuse me, to somebody else. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Romans 4 and verse 1. The Bible says, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." And what's Paul talking about here? He's talking about whatever Scripture they have. Because, you know, if we think about this, when Paul's writing, and this is referring to Genesis, how many hundreds of years before it was that? You know, 1,500 years maybe? I mean, he can only be referring to the Scripture they have right there with them. And once again, he's not questioning what it says in Genesis 15 in this regard. He's saying this is authoritative. He's saying you don't need to have any doubt about this. This is authoritative. This is the Word of God. And this is what you need to put your faith in. I mean, when we see from Romans 10:17, you know, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. This is where you need to rest your faith. This is where the faith you need is. Romans 9. Romans chapter 9. Romans 9. I think I got the wrong reference here. Maybe it's 10. Let me see here. Nope, wrong chapter. It's 9:17, excuse me. Romans 9:17. Romans 9:17. "For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for the same purpose have I raised thee up." What is the point? The point is, excuse me, that he's referring back to something that they can have confidence in. There's not a question about it. And like I said, there's so many different ones of these we can go down through and look at. But what difference does it need to make for us? You know, that's really the key. You know, because if what we believe doesn't make a difference for us, it's not of much use. You know, and as he's referring to the Scripture here, and he does so several times in the book of Romans, and in 1 Corinthians, and on we could go, he's telling them, this is something to have confidence in, to believe in. This is something that will carry you through whatever struggle you're dealing with. You know, and that's the difference it's got to make for each one of us. That's the difference it's got to make for whatever we're struggling with. Let's turn to chapter 15. Romans 15. In verse 1, Romans 15, 1, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to his edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." You know, and if we need comfort, we need to get it from the Scripture. If we need patience, that's kind of dangerous sometimes to say we need patience. But I need more patience. We all need more patience. You know, we need patience with each other. We need patience with God. You know, and a part of that, a big part of that is realizing we don't always know what's best. We are really, really, really short-sighted sometimes. You know, too often our focus is right here, right now. But God sees everything from eternity past all the way to eternity future. But we've got to be able to take the Scripture that we have. We have to be able to have confidence in that. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. In verse 1, 1 Corinthians 15, 1. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Our salvation is dependent upon, do we have a sure word or not? Do we know for sure we have the gospel in our Scriptures? And then even beyond that, day by day, do we have everything we need? Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1 and verse 2. 2 Peter 1, 2. "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." So, peace and grace are multiplied unto us. How? How is that? Through the knowledge of God. Where are we going to find that at? Now, we can know there is a God through nature. We can know that. You know, we can see his eternal power and Godhead. But you know what? To really know him, not, it's different to know him than to know of him. You know, it's like there's a lot of people that we don't really know, but we know of them. You know, maybe through one another. You know, we know that, you know, so-and-so is so-and-so's mom or son or whatever. But we don't really know them. And so nature's not enough. We've got to have, excuse me, the Scripture. But if we really want to know God, and if we really want to have grace and peace, we have to believe and put into practice the truth of the fact that we have the very words of God. Because if we don't, our relationship is going to be more like knowing of God than really knowing him and abiding in him and him abiding in us. "But grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." All things. You know, not most things. You know, grace and peace obviously are a part of that, but it goes beyond that. Now, we need grace, we need peace, but we also need, you know, we need some hope. Now, there's a lot of different things. But once again, it says, "through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." Now, there's a whole lot of ways people say you can get to know God these days. A whole lot of ways. There's a whole lot of mediators according to the world. It's gotten to the point where each individual can be their own mediator. And basically, that shows itself in the fact that people think they can make their own way to God. God's going to accept them on their terms. But you know, that's just a God that is a figment of the American imagination, created by Hollywood and book publishers and all kinds of stuff. But for people to really know him, it's got to be through his word. It's got to be through his word. And that's where all things. You know, if we think that we are lacking something, the problem is us. The problem is not God. The problem is not the revelation he's provided for us. The problem is us. We are the short circuit. You know, we're the ones in the way. And that, you know, that kind of goes back to the whole the message I gave about humility. You know, if we don't have a broken and a contrite heart and spirit, God's not going to look to us. He's not going to revive us. He's not going to bless us. If we don't humble ourselves, if we're proud, God is resisting us. He is resisting us. Let's just a few things here. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. And we've looked at a couple of these verses already, but I just want to make a few few observations here about this. You know, and hopefully this, you know, hopefully some of this is review, because then hopefully it's sinking in. You know, if we're active and we want to learn, you know, I wish there was some kind of a cookie you could give somebody to have them want to learn or something, you know. I'd probably buy boxes of them. Well, hopefully we wouldn't need to pass out too many here at church, but I could use them in my classroom. Mrs. Gaffney would buy trunkloads full, so that when she goes in to student teach, she'd give them a little cup of I Want to Learn serum or juice, or we could, I can use that too. Okay, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. And we've been here and we've talked about this, and but you know, the point here is the scriptures that Timothy had at his disposal, Paul said were holy. Now obviously Timothy did not have, you know, some black market way to get originals, which wouldn't have even have been around by then anyway, hundreds of years later. But the point is, they're holy. They are holy. They're perfect. There's no problem with those copies. But yet we are led to believe in modern days that there's problems with the copies. Well, yeah, there are problems with the ones that are corrupt, which are so obvious. You know, when you have big sections of it taken out and you have all kinds of stuff erased and written back over, obviously somebody messed with those. But what he had at his disposal, they're called holy. John 10. John 10. John 10 and verse 35. John 10, 35. We'll start in verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods?" In verse 35, "If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God." And then verse 37, "If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not." But the point is, the scripture that Jesus is referring to cannot be broken. It cannot be destroyed. It cannot be destroyed. And he's talking about what they have right there with them. So it's holy and it can't be destroyed. So if it's holy, that means there's no errors in it. It's perfect. And if it can't be destroyed, it's never going to be lost. You know, which is what we see in a slew of different verses about how, you know, the judgment of the Lord endure forever and forever and forever and to all generations and so on and so on. We see that. And then let's go back to John 2. John 2. We already read this, but just one more observation, just in general about these copies. You know, they are holy. They cannot be broken. I mean, that's enough in itself, because if they're holy, there's not a problem with them at all. And if they can't be broken, there never will be a problem with them at any point in time. Verse 22, "When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scriptures." We know, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The faith we need is from the Bible. You know, and if we are faint, we need to get into the Bible. We need to get into our specific struggle in the Bible and do some study on it. And you know, in our families, help each other with that. But the point here is that the scripture that they have right there, it's something that they can believe in, they can have confidence in. There's never a question raised. Is this really what I need? Is this scripture? Do I really have everything I need in the scriptures? Is there something missing? The question's never even raised. Jesus never raises it. None of the other writers ever raises it. It's never an issue. It's always what you have, you need to put confidence in and live according to it. And that's the key for all of us. You know, that's the key for all of us. We live we live in a day where scholarship is exalted way higher than it should be. You know, and there's a lot of people that think they're really smart. But you know what? We don't so much need smarts. We need humility. We need enough humility as a little child to get saved. We need a childlike faith. And we need that same humility and brokenness if God's going to teach us anything. And the first place that starts is about the Word of God, about the truth, about the Scripture. And the fact that anybody that raises doubts, number one, I'd question them. I'd be really wondering about them. You know, it's better rendered this way, or they should have translated it this way. Well, they can do that all they want. Well, maybe not all they want, but they obviously can do that in certain places with the modern translations because the way it was translated is wrong. But we have the Word of God. We have the Word of God. But we need to live as if we know that we have it. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love, and we do thank you for your patience with us, your long-suffering. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that even in spite of us, you provide so many wonderful blessings, so much grace and peace. And Lord, we just pray to have the humility to allow you, Father, just to search us and try us and know our hearts. And Lord, just see if there be any wicked way in us, Lord. See if we're depending upon ourselves in any way. Seeing if we're, Lord, focusing on our own goals and plans in any way. Seeing if there's a way we need to die to self. Lord, just see if there's anything in the way of having the humility we need, Lord, that you might revive us and just bless us and use us, Lord. We just pray, Lord, to have that humility. And Father, just help us to have confidence and faith in your word. Lord, help us to see that the answers that we need are right here. And Lord, show us any ways where we do not have that viewpoint. And Lord, we just thank you for the privileges to be able to gather here, Lord, to just encourage one another, sing these hymns. And Lord, just help us to not take that for granted. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.